You're listening to Rust Belt Run.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You rap that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE. Joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find him on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, you can find us at Rust Belt Running.
Before we go any further, let's take a quick break to tell you a little bit about what we do with run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confidence that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
So to learn more about how we can help you hit your race goals, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find out about our different levels and coaching, find out more about us as runners and coaches, or you can support the show with buying merch, a sweatshirt, a patch that you can iron on to your singlet for that race that you're running soon. Maybe you don't want people knowing that you listen to us, but regardless, support the show. But for now, sit back and enjoy the rest of this episode.
Andrew, how you doing, bud?
Who the fuck are you? Matt is joining us. I now have to do the... We have to redo all the intro that I had that's so cookie cutter. We have to redo that to add your stuff in there. So new member of Rust Belt Running, Matt Martin, is here. You can follow him on social media at Matt Mart Run. That's such a fun pun that you put on your... social. But how are you doing, Matt? Thanks for joining Team Rust Belt Running. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm excited to join the team, and hopefully I don't provide too many sound bites for you to add to your intro or anything like that. Too many bad ones.
Yeah. Nothing will ever top your favorite. It's got to be old guy naked in the locker room. that's the one you like.
I like the finishing one at the end of the episodes now.
What's that?
About Adam's running log.
Oh, yes. That's got to be my favorite. And it's going to be at the end of every episode and probably at the end of any chance I get that I can throw that in. I'm definitely going to do that. But so you were up bright and early this morning, huh?
Yeah. The downside with when your wife also runs and also, has running friends is, she'll go out and meet friends to run, and then, with kids, you got to figure out ways to get your run in. So got up a little early this morning, 60 degree rain though. Can't complain about that. It's warm enough to wear a singlet and tank, but the rain keeps you cool enough, and it wasn't a heavy rain. So,
Okay. It wasn't heavy. Yeah. I was curious because it said some of the weather said overnight, we might have like thunderstorms this morning. That was part of the reason I slept in. Dude, I slept like 10 and a half hours last night. It was glorious.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. Well, it's because it was so rainy. I woke up and my room was still super dark. So I was like, I guess I can just still sleep. I was going to try to wake up and get my run in, but I'll just do it a little later once the sun comes out and it's hot and humid and I can work up a good sweat because summer is here. Well,
yes.
Almost. Spring is here for sure. I couldn't be happier about it. So we got some hot shirtless days coming at the track soon once T-ball's over.
Yep.
Goddamn T-ball.
Yeah, next week looks like 80s most of the week, so we'll be straight into summer training.
Yeah, I got the pool set up. It's going to be warm for Memorial Day weekend. It's time to go.
Yep.
So this weekend we have the Cleveland Marathon, and it's kind of one of the last big spring events. You know, the next week up here we have Medina as well. But, you know, one thing that we want to talk about is we're transitioning from spring events into, you know, this kind of lull that we have before fall training begins. We want to talk about recovery. I brought up on the podcast last week that I saw a lot of people at Clock Tower running and maybe running harder than they should have been after some goal races a week or even 2 weeks before. And it really got me hot on the idea of recovery because I don't know if it's a social media problem. I don't know if it's a lack of accountability problem or what it is, but I feel like some people are going too hard at recovery. You know, it's something I wanted to sit and talk with you about. I joked when we were talking during the week that we're on opposite sides of the spectrum, but I think it's more we're opposite sides of the same coin. Like we both have the same goal. And I think we just look at some of the nuance a little different because there's a lot of nuance when it comes to this topic of recovery after a goal race. You know, what's some of the examples of some of that nuance? You know, I would say one of the biggest ones is experience, but like, what's some of what you look at, Matt, when you're looking at, you know, as a newly ordained running coach, what's some of the stuff you're going to look at when you're scheduling recovery for your athletes?
All right. So when I'm talking about like recovering from a marathon, I would say first and foremost, I would look at the athlete's experience. If this is their first time marathon, you know, they're going to be pretty wrecked unless they, you know, are just some freak athlete. I know I was, you know, after my first
wrecked marathon. Or a freak athlete.
What's that?
You said, you know, you were you wrecked or were you a freak athlete?
No, I was wrecked. I was laying on in the Akron Stadium, Rubber Duck Stadium, just like never thought I would be able to walk again. So obviously, you know, experience is going to be the first and foremost, you know, factor into scheduling someone's recovery. And then also just, you know, training volume, I would say. If they're a low mileage runner, they're probably, you know, going to take a little bit more recovery or run less miles in their recovery versus like a higher, you know, mileage athlete is going to probably build up, you know, maybe 20 to 30 miles a week and still be considered in recovery.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it's such a, like that mileage based point is so huge. Like the more you beat your body up during training and the more adaptations it makes, the quicker it might be able to turn around. And I think too, you know, when we're talking about recovery as well, where, you know, we're talking about something that's going to be a slow build, you know, and that's why I think when I saw people running a 5K hard a week after, I'm like, oh, you know, like that's not going to be a spot I would prescribe for Eliud Kipchoge to do, to run a 5K a week after a full marathon race effort. You know, it's like Adam, let's go with Adam. He's not here. But he took 3 weeks off after Boston, which is a lot. That's a lot for some people, but he was able to, you know, one of the other pieces of nuance, you and I talked about this yesterday, is like, what's your goal after the race? Like, are you turning around into, you know, right now we're, you know, a couple weeks to a month and a half away from fall cycles beginning. You know, are you turning into that, or are you, you know, doing what Adam's doing and going real light for the fall? Cause he's going to give one more big crack at Boston next year. You know, if your goal, I think the bigger your goals, I think the more methodical you have to be. I think in some ways, the more cautious you have to be, but you have to try to get out there. You know, I took a week off after Hall of Fame, and I'm ready to flip the switch again 2 weeks later after a, you know, kind of slow week. But that's because I have Erie training. I got to start training in 2 weeks, like a week from when this is published. Training's begun. So, Yeah, I don't have a lot of room for error. I had to really, you know, manipulate things. So this is one of those spots where I think it's good to have a run coach. But yeah, some of that fitting a square peg into a round hole, like where do you kind of sit right now, like personally?
So personally, I try to take a week off. Normally that doesn't work, but I would say a minimum for me is 3 to 4 days completely off. And I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm not getting on a bike. I'm not, you know, doing any sort of strength training, anything like that. Maybe I'll go for walks to, you know, try to, you know, scratch the itch a little bit. But ideally, you know, those first few days I'm focused on just, you know, healing up all those muscles mm-hmm. that I got beat up for 26 miles, especially on a course that's, you know, hilly or downhill. That's going to beat up your muscles even more. But, you know, in Adam's case, I don't think I would ever tell an athlete, you know, 3 weeks is too much. You know, if I had an athlete that said, hey, I want to take 3 weeks off, I would be like, mm-hmm. go for it. Because not many runners have that, you know, that mentality where, you know, they want to just take a long extended break. You know, most of us want to get back at it like 2 days after the race if they're feeling okay.
Right. Which,
you know, not the greatest idea.
I think 3 to 4 days is like, I think that is a hard minimum. I think that's like, I don't have a lot of nuance on that. I would even say that first week, full marathon, 1 week, I'm pretty close to calling that a hard line minimum. I mean, I know there's, you know, some coaches who say different, but I think one of the big things is like, you need a mental break too. It's not just the, it's not just the physical pounding of 26 miles, dude. It's a mental like fight mm-hmm. for, you know, how many weeks that your training was that you have to get yourself up and be so laser focused on so many workouts for such a long period of time. Like, man, after Columbus last year, I took a week and I just drank a lot of beer. Like, I drank a lot and it was amazing. Like, that was such a good week. It was training for my vacation and I partied hard on vacation. I had like that week, that little bender was such a good mental release after being kind of a saint for, you know, so many weeks too, you know, where you're like, I'm not going to drink nearly as much and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to eat right and, you know, go to bed early and all this stuff that you did, you kind of can, you can let loose on all that stuff with no real consequence on your running. And I think that's that mental piece is huge. So yeah, that a week after a full for me personally is really where I'd want to see somebody sit. But yeah, 3 to 4 days, that's non-negotiable.
Right. I would probably never prescribe. That was just me personally. I would probably say, you know, if I was prescribing an athlete, I would say a week minimum. And, you know, I like what you said about just kind of letting loose that week, because really that is the perfect time to just do, you know, all the things that you know, weren't able to do or, you know, weren't able to enjoy when you were training for a, you know, a goal race, like a marathon, you know,
Yeah. You
know, diet restrictions go out the window. You could do whatever you want. It's kind of like a little vacation for you.
Yeah. Dude, after, so I'm doing Chicago and then I'm doing Columbus. I do the following week. I actually do go on vacation, which is going to be amazing.
That would probably be the best vacation of your life.
As long as I can walk. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I think, yeah. So mental recovery is important. You know, part of the nuance to being, like you said, Adam has a different mentality. Every runner has a different mentality. You've seen what we had to do with our friend JP. to try to keep him from doing a little too much, because he's one of those runners who has that, like, he can't, it's oxygen to him, and to keep mm-hmm. him from going too hard. And he maybe did a little too much, too close to his goal race last year, and, you know, kind of it threw some of his training into question this year. But he was able to rally and ran a really good race at Hall of Fame regardless. But we, you know, we really had to, kind of hold his hand through this recovery. 'Cause, you know, as we look at taper, we all know what taper is, you know, going into a race, you hear the term reverse taper for, after a race. You know, one of the big phrases is do no harm when you're in those last like 10 days to 2 weeks before a race. This whole recovery time, you have to have that same mindset of do no harm. You don't want to do anything that puts your future in jeopardy, because you're not going to gain anything from what you're doing except just getting out and doing it. Maybe moving the legs, getting some blood moving, things like that. But yeah, do no harm. I just think it's so, I just would hate to see somebody for the sake of, you know, just, I trying to think of like the best way to put it, but just because they can't stay away, I'd hate to see somebody get hurt.
Right.
Or to have a bad cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I think there could be some benefits to, you know, after you say you take your minimum week off, you know, if you want to, you know, go every other day and jog 3 miles, I mean, that can certainly help, you know, increase blood flow and, you know, and just kind of do like a, just trying to feel out your body and see if there is any, you know, after effects from that big race, and then go from there. You know, a lot of times I like to do that just to see like, hey, if I go 3 miles and my knee hurts, that means I'm definitely not running the next day, and I'm probably not running the day after. And then, you know, my recovery kind of just goes through that process until something.
I want to stop you right there. I think that's a good thing that I didn't have written down. But I do after races is, yeah, in those runs, kind of monitor the body. Like, you know, you might be able to find precursors to something that, you know, maybe an imbalance or a weakness that you need to work on when you're in that like off season phase. Or that, you know, might be something you need to talk to a PT about to make sure it doesn't blow up into a larger issue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to
interject
right there.
Yeah, I was basically gonna, you know, introduce a PT into that too. You know, if you're, it's a good time to, you know, because you can't really go to a PT. I mean, you can run your marathon, and then I never like go to a PT immediately, because I'll just go to him and say, you know, hey Tim, everything in my body hurts. He's like, well, you just ran 26 miles. You know, I could expect that. So, you know, you always want to wait, you know, a week or so, and then if there's anything bothering you after that, then you can, you know, you can note that, and, you know.
Vinny's back.
In case you didn't want to know, Vinny ate his banana. Thank you, Vinny. I would say going to a PT, you know, after your week break, and then taking your first couple runs and seeing if there's anything that's, you know, barking at you or something that you haven't felt before, then that would definitely be your sign to, you know, stop running and try to get someone to look at it before continuing or before building back into a new cycle, you know.
Well, you had that. Like, you actually, like, went through that specifically when you were newer to running after your second full. So, like, so after you ran Vermont that year, what was that, 2019? No, that was 20. Was that 2019? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. 2019.
I worked in the building with you then. Like, had you entered recovery mode? I don't remember if you ran or not after that race before you kind of went down your stuff.
I think I took like a week off, because I was pretty beat up. Just that race, I definitely trained for it, but I didn't run it correctly. That's another, you know, that'll also affect how you recover. If you go out too fast and you hit a wall hard, you're gonna feel it, you know, harder after that race versus if you run it smart, like someone like Adam at Boston, who, you know, can close in on, you know, ridiculous paces. He probably felt pretty, I mean, he probably was still sore, but he probably felt pretty decent after that race. So after Vermont, I took my week off and then had a couple test runs, and there was something in my hip that was bothering me that, one, I had never felt before, and two, that wasn't going away as I warmed up or loosened up. And that's when I, you know, stopped immediately and saw a PT and went from there.
Do you need to handle that? No.
No, the door's locked.
Oh man, having a PT is incredibly valuable. Actually, that whole thing that you went through there, that kind of introduced us to POP in general, because we had them on shortly after you went through all your labrum issues. You kind of introduced us to them. We had them on and got to know them. Adam started seeing them, and the rest was history with POP. And now I've run Eagle Up with them and done, you know, seen Tim at Burning, or Mike at Burning River. And yeah, as much as, you got us into a lot of good stuff, Matt.
Yeah, I kind of found them by accident, and that's probably one of the best accidents I've made, you know, I've done, you know, just scrolling through a Facebook running group and someone had mentioned them. And at the time I wasn't even injured. I just scheduled like kind of a, let's see what happens here. And, you know, I always have certain issues as a runner. Most runners have, you know, tightness and things like that. And I was just feeling like I needed to get that addressed. And that was probably one of the best decisions I made in my running career, at least. You know, they've definitely kept me going through different niggles here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't recommend them or, you know, many other PTs in the area that we have. You know, I couldn't recommend them enough.
Yeah. It's something that I ask every one of our athletes now when we do any onboarding, like, do you have a PT that you see? You know, if our athletes are in this area, yeah. Tim and Mike, Bethany, there's others. But I mean, those are the ones that's who Adam and I use, or all of us use. It's not just me and Adam anymore. It's the three of us, you know, between POP and Physio 330, that's where we go. And we, you know, you have to have one. it's such a big, performance gain that you get. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to stumble across, you know, becoming friends with Bethany at the track. Again, you got me there. So, you got me going to the track and getting to know that group. And, now Bethany sticks needles in me and lets me borrow her Normatex. Well, I just go over to her place and use her Normatex and drink beer usually.
Yeah. And another thing that's with, you know, PTs who specifically, you know, or not specifically, but work with runners, you know, more often than not is, you know, if you go to your normal, you know, podiatrist or even your normal doctor, you know, they'll be like, you know, if your calf hurts, they'll just say, well, stop running for 6 months and you'll be fine. Which, you know, these, you know, Dr. Tim, Dr. Mike, Bethany, you know, any of the PTs in the area, they're, you know, if it's something that you can run through, they'll let you know. And if it's something that it's not, then they'll definitely tell you as well.
Well, and giving you a plan on how to attack it, not just, you know, this. Yeah, there's a definitive like layout of you need to be doing these exercises. Like, what's your, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for POP, but I know Bethany actually like asked to see like training plans to see like what is, you know, what's being prescribed for you for the next 2 weeks while we work on this. And I think that's valuable. And then you have to be able to go back. If you have a coach, you have to be able to go back to your coach and talk to them about that and have things adjusted for you based on what, you know, your PT may say, or make those adjustments on your own. That you found POP in a Facebook group. So I just want to, you know, talk about Matt for a quick second. Matt is a student of running, and we all have that like fervor and desire to learn about running after our first like one or two marathons. Well, that never stopped with Matt. He just continues to be a sponge of running knowledge, and you know, very similar to Adam. You know, it was a big reason why we wanted to bring Matt on board with us. Matt and I were talking maybe like a month or two ago when this all started. And, I forget what book you were. Oh, I think you sent me something from like Fitzinger about running. It was about recovery.
specifically.
Multiple marathoning.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, it's like this real serious book, but the quote had something to do with like, it would take me longer to recover from the lobotomy that I had to have to sign up for marathons so close together.
Right.
But that was kind of what that like moment there was what started this whole thing about, you know, it's like, dude, you're reading so freaking much. Like, you know, way more than me at this point. You should start like looking into coaching because like you mm-hmm. have all this knowledge and what are you doing with it? But yeah, Matt has just continuously been a student of running. And like that like same excitement to learn more about it, how to become a better runner. Yeah, that's never died. So, you know, as we kind of wind up talking about recovery, why don't you just like, I want to give you the floor for a minute just to talk about like why you actually decided to start coaching, besides me telling you, hey, you should do this.
Yeah, it was just something, you know, I thought about it, you know, way back since, you know, in 2020 when I hired my first coach, you know, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. You know, you can virtually coach people online, which, you know, prior to using, at the time I used Run Well, Be Well, Coach Rachel. Prior to using her, I didn't even know that, you know, virtual coaching was even, I probably knew it was a thing, but I didn't realize that, you know, how many people did use it. Uh-huh. I mean, I feel like it has kind of blown up in the past few years. And it just, you know, as I continued training, continued getting better, continued reading more, I just realized how cool it is that there's so many different ways to train for a marathon. There's not just, you know, one training plan that trumps all or, you know, one method that, you know, is better than, you know, another method. It's just, you try to match up the best training plan for you. And, I thought it would be pretty cool to try to do that for other people as well. And, you know, just seeing people hit PRs that, you know, you were a part of, I thought that would be a really cool thing to, you know, to witness and to accomplish with somebody else.
That is hands down the greatest feeling in coaching. Like when we got to see JP, shoot down at downtown Akron last year, when I got to see our athlete Josh at the finish of Boylston or finish of Boston this year, like, dude, those moments, like to be there in person, like holy shit, there is nothing like that. JP's was special because that was like our first athlete to even like finish a race. You know, that was the first one to go through a training cycle with us and go through and complete. And we were able to be there. I mean, Adam and I, we were just like, we were basically holding hands and skipping down Maine, like just like with cheesy smiles on our faces, just running to see JP. Yeah. And dude, I can't wait to get some athletes under your belt and see what they can do. It's fun that you kind of hit different, you know, there's more than, you know, one way to run a good marathon. Cause you asked us when we went out a couple weeks ago, like, is there a specific philosophy, like training philosophy that we, no, not necessarily, you know, it's what's best for the runner. And it's, you know, everybody enjoys doing things differently. And I think that's one of the keys is, you know, and that goes in with recovery too. Like, you know, I talked about what people desire. You have to find what people desire. What's going to keep people, you know, coming back to running? What's going to keep people focused and driven? And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, I love track workouts. That's fun for me.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody wants to go run in a circle. You know, some people would prefer to do intervals. So what do you, it's all the same, but like, how are you going to prescribe that for people? And I think that's the key. What keeps it interesting for everybody?
Well, and it's also some people, you know, benefit more from speed work versus some people benefit more from threshold training. It's just, mm-hmm. it's something you'd have to figure out with, you know, an athlete and build on that. You know, whether, well, you know, and of course, if you're good at speed work and you get better with speed work, you're going to enjoy it more. And if you,
right,
you know, you suck at speed work, you're probably not going to enjoy it very much.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I'm really excited to have you on board with us. And I'm excited to see, I'm excited to see the effect. You know, we're gonna, you know, hopefully I'm the third fastest, coach at Rust Belt Running now, which is kind of sad. I'm moving myself down the list here. I'm cool with that.
For now.
Ain't no way I'm catching either one of y'all. I definitely ain't catching you. Dude, that's 10 minutes. No, I don't want to put it. See, I don't want to put in that kind of work. I don't want to put in the work to catch Adam. I could take Adam in a 5K.
Well, he's not even warmed up yet.
Right. I think Adam and I would be, if we both, I'd be curious what would happen in a like dedicated fall half cycle if we both did that. Like if him and I both trained to do Akron or something, I think a half could be competitive, but he would take me in a full 100%. But I think I could take him in 5K.
I think you could get close.
If Adam could like do like a 3 mile warm up and then roll into a 5K, he would be solid. But as soon as he stops, he would be screwed.
Well, he's not getting any younger too, so you have a...
that's true. Oh, I'm the
you have a slight advantage there.
But
which by the way, age, I know we always, you know, I've heard you guys say on your podcast before, you know, how, you know, you're getting older and, you know, you don't know how many years of, you know, actual fast running you have. Mm-hmm. I got passed by so many over 50 year olds at Boston.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm running a 2:42. And actually, so when I finished the race, there was like two, probably like straight up silver hair, at least 55 years old. And they looked over at each other like, oh, 2:42. That was a nice little cruise. And I'm just like looking at them like, how? How is that even possible? You know, they just quote unquote cruise their little 2:42. You know, they're probably 2:35 marathoners and they're 55 years old.
Well, they were probably doing like 2:25s when they were our age though. So there's
true, but right. But you know, it doesn't have to be you get old, you get slow. It doesn't have to be like that.
No, you can maintain, because I know I've talked about how I want to like not, you know, train to run hard, you know, once I get to Boston. But it's not like I want to go out and, you know, I do want to run some 3:45s just to have fun. Like that's what I want. I've said I stand by it. That's what I want my first Boston to be. But, you know, it'll still probably be a lot of like 3:10s, 3:15s. I don't have to, you know, go incredibly slow. Like I'm not going to intentionally slow down. I'm just not going to intentionally speed up either. So, mainly I just don't want to do tempo work. We've had that discussion, you and I, plenty of times. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is a good start. And I'm looking forward to, seeing what you do with us. So, good things are coming, and it's time to start getting ready for fall. So guys, make sure you go over to rustbeltrunning.com. You can find out a little more about Matt Martin. You again, follow him at Matt Mart Run on Instagram. He doesn't really post much there. So
I'll post stuff, but I'm not like an everyday poster adding to my story. You probably see mostly stuff of my kids or some races that I do.
Feel free to follow him there. Follow us at Rust Belt Running. Go to your favorite podcast platforms. Make sure you like, subscribe, review us. And Matt, until next time, Adam will be here with us next time. Or maybe it'll be you and Adam. I don't know. It's summertime, so things are up in the air when we record again. But Eagle Ups in 2 weeks. So if you want to,
Wolfpack will take over.
Yeah, if you want to, you can come see. I got a package getting delivered today. Yes, our uniforms are coming in. So if you want to, in 2 weeks, feel free. Well, it'll be a week from the time this is recorded. June 3rd, is that the date? We will be at St. Helena Park in Canal Fulton for Eagle Up 100. We have a relay team we call the Wolfpack. Feel free to come out there and say hello.
Or put together your own team and make a relay. It's probably one of the most fun races you'll be at.
This will be the first time I'm actually like partaking in it, registered wise. I've paced a bunch of laps there. I'm really excited to actually be a part of it. So yeah, definitely come down, say hey, drink some beers. Matt and I are making sure we're the first two legs of our team so that we can have maximum beer drinking time. So it's going to be good stuff. But yeah, guys, we can't wait to come back and do this again. And until we see you again, enjoy those miles, everybody.
I love my log.